Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave, and this is Hot Start.
And we still have the crew of the B-29 with us here.
We just couldn't get them to leave.
Oh, are you kidding?
They said it was dry.
Hey, they said they'd switch positions with us. They could do the radio stuff. We go fly the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's going to happen.
All right. Well, maybe they'll let us sit in the airplane and make engine noises.
That's right. That's about the closest you'll get.
I'd be happy with that, too. You know, one of the things that happened over the years was obviously you guys blew up a number of engines. And then the powers that be said, look, we can't keep doing this. We've got to modify the engines. We've got to come up with a better way of keeping this airplane in the sky. What was the whole story behind the new engines, and how did you get them all?
This idea came about a number of years ago, probably even 10 or 15 years ago, that the old engines were not going to last forever, that something had to be done to re-engine the airplane to a more modern and more reliable engine. And it wasn't until 2006 that everybody really put their heads together. The crew chief prior to me, Gary Austin, and Charlie Tillman and Nelson Ezel all got together and formulated a plan to put two engines together. There was no 3350 out there that could just bolt on to the airframe because of the mount design. And the idea came to combine two different 3350 models, one that had the right mount assembly to bolt onto the airplane. That was a Sky Raider engine, 26WD. And then we had purchased probably about 10 years ago, we had purchased nine 95Ws, which were the C-119 gunship engines. And so the engine that's on there today, we call it a hybrid, but it's really a combination of those two engines. The power section of the cylinders and rotating section of the 95W, and then the blower case and accessory section from the Sky Raider engine, the 26WD. We gave that engine that plan to Ray Anderson up in Greensville, Idaho, who's the premier engine builder of radial engines now in the United States. And he put the first engine together, ran it on the test stand, and it did everything that we asked it to do. We brought that engine to Midland, mounted it on the airframe, and ran it on the airframe, and just exactly what Gary and Charlie and Nelson had looked at as far as numbers. The numbers came in just perfect as far as running the engine at 44 inches, 2400 RPM, and developing 2000 horsepower. And that's exactly what we got. When the second engine was built, we were not quite ready for it, and Rod Lewis's Rare Bear had just blown an engine right before Reno, and Ray called me and said, you know, we got this engine for you. Rod needs it. Can we sell it to him and for Rare Bear? And we said, you know, that'll probably work out really well because we're not ready for the engine, and this was a good thing to do for Rod, and it was a great test bed. What better test bed would there be than to put this engine, this that was built for the B-29, a stock engine, on Rare Bear? And they put it on there, and it ran second in gold. Yeah, and so that was the proof that really we were just elated that it ran so well, and then we continue with the project.
Well, what was the maintenance issues that you had with the original engines? What were the parts that kept failing?
Oh, cylinders, nose cases, you name it. It wasn't a matter of if the engine was going to break. It was when it was going to break and what was it going to be. And I was really not around during the time. I was a volunteer at that time, touring with the airplane. I wasn't real involved with the maintenance of it when they had a lot of the engine problems of days past. But Paul could probably speak to that.
Listening to Dave talk here, I guess I was fairly lucky in all the years. I've never shut an engine down on Fifi in anger, just always in training for training purposes, so I got pretty lucky.
I like that, in anger.
In anger, yeah.
But some of the fellows did. And as Dave said, the primary failure were the cylinders, the jugs, if you will, nose case, gears. I remember one day I had showed up and they had a problem and they were literally draining the oil and you could hear the pieces falling into the bucket. And I don't mean, you know, little slivers. It's where you could read part numbers, stampings on the piece themselves. So it was always, as Dave said, when is it going to fail? It's just a matter of time and how bad it was going to be.
Well, we understand you had these new engines built and on the first flight you had a problem with one of the brand new engines.
It was actually the second flight.
Probably Rita, right?
No, it was actually Mitzi. The first flight went without a hitch. It was we flew for about 40 minutes and came in and landed and everything was perfect. The second flight that we did, we had it was a proverbial 25-cent nut on the mag distributor that came loose and caused severe backfiring and detonation. And it didn't ruin the engine, but it caused enough problems with the engine that Ray had us pull the engine, send it back to him up in Idaho, and he completely went through it and repaired it, and he stood behind it. He admitted that it was it was nothing that we had done. So we've corrected that problem. That will never happen again. And we've got roughly 116 hours on the engines now, and they're just running fantastic, and I couldn't be happier.
That's a great testimonial that the engine builder stands behind his engines and says, all right, look, we had a problem, I'll make it right. That's tremendous.
Yep.
I like the part where he says, well, we just took the engine off and shipped it back. You know, the thing weighs, what, 3,500 pounds?
Yeah, it's you generally equate the engine weight of a radial to a pound per cubic inch.
Yeah,
that's not including the propeller, probably 1,000 pounds by itself.
You're very close, yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big rotating.
Nothing to do on this weekend. I think we'll pull the engine off.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So you guys went through all of this, and of course there was the debacle of trying to pay for all these engines because obviously, you know, somebody's going to want some cash down the line. I remember reading about the reports. I was a member of ICAS at the time, and everybody was just tickled pink. There was an anonymous donor that came forward and said, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. Whatever happened to that? We heard it all fell through, and I thought, oh, man.
Unfortunately, that initial promise did not materialize, but we were very fortunate. Mr. Jim Cavanaugh, founder of the Cavanaugh Flight Museum, longtime supporter of the CAF, stepped up about a year and a half later, I think it was, and he wrote $1 million check.
No
kidding. And it was based over, I think, either a 3 or 4 year payment plan, but he stepped forward, and he was the one that really allowed us to do this. Headquarters has been great to work with. They've really supported us and helped kind of smooth some feathers and all that. And if it weren't, I can't say enough about Mr. Cavanaugh. He was flew with us from the Dallas area, based right out of his museum, basically, down to San Antonio for an air show in the fall. And the people that were on the airplane said he was like a little kid, just going up and down the airplane with a big smile on his face. And we cannot say enough good about what he did to allow us to do it. And we are, you know, when we finished our test flying last year, our unit leader, Niels Agerther, one of the other sons of Fifi, sent out an email saying, Fifi's back. And I think here, sitting here on ConocoPhillips Square, we're definitely back. And she is running beautifully. We're happy to be here. I made a promise to Steve Brown, president of the CAF, make sure we promote the CAF, commemorativeairforce.org. Come down to the air show, one of the best air shows in West Texas, air show without the W.org. It is October 8 and 9 this year. One of the highlights with that will be a concert with Aaron Tippin, with Fifi serving as a backdrop, Saturday evening. And then both days during the air show, I believe, we'll be doing a simulated atomic bomb mission with Fifi. I believe it's the only place that it's done is in Midland at Headquarters Air Show.
Big boomage.
It is big.
Well, now, how does a person get to be a member of the Commemorative Air Force?
You come see one of us who are already members. We've got everybody here, I'm sure, has membership applications in our flight suits and so forth. Or go onto our website, commemorativeairforce.org, sign up, pay your $200 initial dues. Then we've got 70 units across the nation and actually around the world. Join one of those, and you can start getting your hands in oily, and before you know it, you'll be covered in oil and dirt and grime, having a good old time.
Email goes out Friday night. We're going to pull an engine. We got nothing better to do. Come on over.
Sounds like fun to me. Hey, I'll bring the tools.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us, and thank you so much for bringing Fifi. And I'm assuming we'll get to see her fly some more?
On Friday, yes, in the air show.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Wait a minute. You know, we were talking to Rich Gibson here of Rich's Incredible Pyro. Do you think we can do an atomic bomb shot on Friday?
He may try.
You set it up, we'll do it.
It would be cool.
I would like to see a watermelon drop.
We've done that.
Not out of a B-29.
Well, where are you going to find a watermelon big enough to fit in there?
Yeah, there you go. All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you are listening to Hot Start on EAA Radio.